It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
As Fridays go, this could be one of the more exciting ones. As weekends go, this could be one of the more active ones and exciting ones as well. Think about it for a moment. Austin FC prepares to play its first ever home game coming up tomorrow. We are fully on into summer this weekend. We have NBA playoffs with Game 7s coming up. We have those. And oh, by the way, one of us, at least anyway, is here in Omaha, Nebraska. Good morning, everybody. Light the Tower is the name of the program. We welcome you to the program here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Incidentally, if you're viewing on Twitch, you're probably seeing an empty studio right now for a couple of reasons. One, and as we welcome the program, my name is Craig Way. I do thank you for joining us. I'm in Omaha, Nebraska, obviously, where the Texas Longhorns will be playing in the College World Series on Sunday evening against the Mississippi State Bulldogs, a game you can hear on the Horn beginning at 5:45, and the first pitch just past 6 o'clock. So we'll have that for you. Jeff Howe is on his way back to the ARN compound. He should be there in just a few minutes. If you were listening to Bucky and Aaron just a few moments ago, you heard Jeff doing an interview with Colt McCoy. Colt's got his football camp going on over at St. Michael's, and Jeff was out there and hung out with Colt. Really good conversation. You can go to the podcast page at hornfm.com for Bucky and Aaron Show and listen back to that if you want. They also had a good conversation with Keith Moreland this morning talking about this College World Series. All of that happened in the 9 o'clock hour. We have things to bring you here in the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. We're with you up until noon, and then it's shirts and skins, or at least the skinned version of it, so to speak, with Trey Elling, Chad being out this week on vacation. But he'll bring you the program at noon, then RBKD, the triple option, Rod Babers, Brad Keldner, Kevin Dunn, fresh from their narrow escape from serious injury of a batting practice ball that went just zooming past their remote broadcast location at Dell Diamond yesterday. So we've got an action-packed weekend for you. Oh, by the way, the U.S. Open is going on as well, so you've got that happening. So there's so much going on, and we're glad you're a part of it. We're glad to have you with us. Always glad to have our erstwhile producer, the major domo and purveyor of all things good with Flex ATX, Jonathan John Donaldson, Jay Donaldson. We know him as Snoop Daniel. How are you this morning, Snoop?
I'm good. I'm the only person on Twitch right now because you are in Omaha and Jeff is en route, so it's weird.
Well, I would just say this to you. Be careful where you scratch on Twitch, you know, because you would be noticed, you know, that kind of thing. Not that you aren't, you know, people see you on Twitch anyway when we do the show.
Yes.
It's just you're soloing it. So that's good. How about Flex? How'd it go last night?
It was fun. We wrapped up a really fun baseball season because it deserved it. And a lot of times with the summer, like the end of a baseball softball season kind of gets swept under the rug because people are full into summer. But it was funny, and we talked about the kid from Dripping Springs getting an offer from Baylor, Austin Novosad, who's just a sophomore. And, Craig, he had 34 passing touchdowns and just 4 picks in 8 games last year.
Impressive.
People talk about Bo Edmondson and Lake Travis. I would say he would be number 2 to Cade Klubnik at Westlake, but now I think you have to put Novosad in that conversation as maybe being 2 or 3.
Yeah, well done. So, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear all that went well. We should let folks know what's going on with the program this morning. Coming up here in just a few minutes, had a quick conversation with with Doug Hodo, the Longhorns right fielder, Douglas Hodo the third. But we learned very early on from his dad, said, you're fine, just call him Doug, which is what we were doing. His teammates call him Dougie. But we had a brief conversation after practice yesterday. The team got here, obviously, I wasn't on the program yesterday, and Jeff Howe was out at the luncheon yesterday for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Austin, and I heard it was a great luncheon. Folks had a great time. Roger Wallace standing in for me as the MC, did a tremendous job, along with Jeremy Hills, the two of them. They were kind of dueling MCs, and heard it went really well. And Steve Sarkisian was excellent. So, that all went over very, very well. There's lots of times when we say it's an exciting time or a good time to be a Longhorn, all that other kind of stuff. But there are times that it's really more true and accurate than it might be at other times. And here's an example of what I'm talking about. So you have several things happening. Obviously, track and field did a great job with their season. Softball just finished their season. They got to the Super Regionals. They had a good job. Rowing wins a national championship. You have all of the other things that have happened. The other two national titles in this academic and athletic school year. Volleyball gets to the national championship matchup here in this town in Omaha. U.S. Olympic swim trials are going on, have been going on in this town the past several days, and several current and former Longhorns involved with that. So you had all of that going on. Then, on top of that, at the send-off rally for the Longhorn baseball team on Wednesday, and, as the team was getting on the bus and getting ready to go, they had this big send-off, and fans were able to come out, and Texas Cheer and Texas Palm were there, so that was cool. And you had Smokey at the Cannon, which was fired several times, including one time, by the way, by David Pierce, the Longhorns head coach. The cannon was pointed right at the bus that I was on. It was two buses that took us all to the airport. I was a little nervous about that, but it went off okay. So you had that, but also out there, Chris Beard was out there. So you had the Longhorn head men's basketball coach, had his coaching staff with him. I had real good conversations with Coach Beard, with Chris Ogden, who's on his staff man, and then of course assistant coaches like Rodney Terry, who I've known RT forever, and visited with him, and also met Avery Benson, who's just transferring to Texas, and he was out there, so transferring in from Texas Tech. So basketball, there's a lot of excitement surrounding that. And then, as I mentioned, football with Sark yesterday, emceeing the luncheon, he was the keynote speaker at the luncheon. And then there's this baseball team that's up here. So there's some pretty exciting stuff going on right now with the University of Texas. And one other thing, and I really did want to mention this, because if you haven't noticed it, I completely understand how you might, something like this might escape your notice. It's certainly possible that something like this could escape your notice. And what I'm talking about is what happened with the Big 12 Conference. And yesterday they announced the Big 12 Conference Woman Sports Person of the Year, I guess is the exact way to describe it. The female sports person of the year. It went to Alex Watson from Texas Rowing. Now, there's a male and female sports person of the year that's awarded by the Big 12 Conference every year. And Alex Watson was named the female sports person of the year. And he said, okay, well, that's great, and it's really cool, and they won the national championship, and she's the seventh Longhorn to be named a Big 12 sports person of the year. The awards began 20 years ago, as the conference says, to annually recognize the inspirational stories of student-athletes who display outstanding achievement in areas that include sportsmanship, overcoming extraordinary challenges, and community service during the academic year. The winners are selected by a media panel. Now, remember, Andrew Jones was the men's sports person of the year. Imani McGee Stafford won it for the women. Nate Boyer won it on the men's side. Kylie Doniak won it in soccer. Sam Acho won it in football. Ahmad Hall won it in football. But as the male sports person of the year. Now, it's certainly understandable if you don't know much about Alex Watson. Like I said, she's a rower, and she's from Leicester, Great Britain. So what you should know about her and what she overcame to be a part of the rowing team and a big part of it and part, a national champion and ultimately to be honored for what she did. It was almost 4 years ago, August 2017, and she was diagnosed with Lemierre syndrome, which is a bacterial infection in the throat that led to sepsis. And her infection was resistant to antibiotics, and the doctors were really struggling how to formulate a treatment that would help. Nodules began forming on her throat, and at one point she stopped breathing. Doctors were unable to operate on her throat. Her heart rate spiked, and they had to place her in an induced coma for 3 days. When she was revived, she was in ICU for a week, hospital another six days. As she recovered, she was unable to eat, drink, walk, or talk, and she lost 25 to 30 pounds. Then once she was released from the hospital, she eased her way back into the water and was back doing full workouts in just 6 months' time in early 2018. She didn't miss a race during the 2018 season. She earned a spot on the Varsity 8. She helped the Longhorns to a third-place finish in the 2018 NCAA Championships. And she's really become an emotional leader of the Texas rowing team as well. Following her illness, teammates and staff became inspired by her physical and mental health. And they had phrases like, this one's for Watson and do it for Watts and that sort of stuff. And she wasn't just a figurehead. She became all Big 12 in 2019, led them to the runner-up finish at the NCAA Championship. She was a finalist for the 2020 Honda Inspiration Award. This year, she was named the Big 12 Rower of the Year and helped guide Texas to their first-ever NCAA National Championship in rowing, 2021 All Big 12 honoree, a nutrition major, by the way, two-time academic All Big 12 honoree, 4.0 GPA. Extraordinary story, and she's the female sports person of the year. So that's what I mean when it goes beyond, just the sports that we follow the closest, the ones that we're around the most. And it's good to see some folks recognized for things that they do in other areas, and also to receive the recognition that they deserve. So I just wanted to mention that before moving forward to the conversation with Doug Hodo. So congratulations to her, because it was just a tremendous job by Alex Watson. So congratulations to Alex, the 2021 Big 12 Conference Female Sportsperson of the Year and a national champion, by the way, in Texas. The Longhorn baseball team's trying to win a national championship, but they know the road is still heavy. The road ends here in Omaha. I tweeted that the other night when I went down to the statue that they have in front with the guys piling up, the dog pile statue out in front of TD Ameritrade Park, and took a photo of it and said it's good to be back, because it is. It was really cool to see the ballpark again, and I'll be going back over there today to get equipment arranged and set up and all that other kind of stuff. All of the prep things that have to go into getting set up to do this. But the Longhorn baseball team has more work on its hands today. They had a practice yesterday at Bellevue East High School. That's on the south side of town. And they really like that. It's a good natural grass field. And so they were over there yesterday, went over there, drove over there. They were on the field there for a while. And remember, obviously, at TD Ameritrade, it's natural grass. It's not field turf. So it's a good transitional experience to go and practice on that. And they get their time on the field at TD Ameritrade today. All eight teams do, in fact. So the Longhorns have a practice over there this afternoon. So I think each team gets like an hour and 10 minutes or an hour 20, something like that, on the field. So they'll be out there on the field for that. And then they'll have another practice probably over at Creighton, I would imagine, tomorrow, or back at Bellevue East. And then, of course, they play on Sunday night. Now, there are a lot of unique stories that go around all the eight teams here. North Carolina State's kind of a Cinderella thing, and I think the locals here are going to adopt the Wolfpack. They knocked out Arkansas, the overall number one seed. They're a bit of a newbie. They haven't been in this in a while. Stanford hasn't been here since 2008, and that's who they play in the first game. Arizona won a national championship a few years back. Vanderbilt, of course, is, if you're counting it in terms of the last time they contested this event, they would be the defending national champions. They won it in 2019. Of course, there was no tournament last year here. And then on the Texas side of the bracket, Mississippi State is an annual combatant. They've been 3 years in a row or three consecutive tournaments. So that's going to be the difficult challenge for Texas, first game out of the box. And then Tennessee, maybe the hottest team in the country, number three national seed. And the Volunteers are playing Virginia, who on its surface may look like a Cinderella because they were a three seed going into regional. But it's a program that's been accustomed to being here in Omaha. They won a national championship here in 2015. So and they've been here a few times in the past decade. So it is a really unique field. And like I said, there's quite a few interesting, intriguing stories and unique elements. And one of those is the fact that the Longhorns' right fielder, Doug Hodo, is not only the starting right fielder for Texas, he's a legacy of somebody who played here. His dad, as we know, Doug Hodo, played on three Texas teams that played here in Omaha, the 83 National Championship team, and then in 84, when they lost to Augie Garrido's Cal State Fullerton team, and then 85 when they lost to Miami. And in visiting with the longtime Longhorn athletics historian and baseball historian, Bill Little, he said that probably is even more painful than the 89 loss to Wichita State, because Wichita State, of course, that was the first year of the single-game national championship thing created for CBS, and then they went back to the double elimination format, or the best two out of three series when they came off of CBS after 2002. But Doug Hodo played in 83, 84, 85 on those teams. And so here's his son, Douglas III. And Doug told me, I think we were in Stillwater during the year, his dad, and said, call him whatever you want. I said, we've been calling him Doug. I've said Douglas Hodo III in first reference in like running down the lineup, but then we just call him Doug. He goes, that's fine. He goes, he said, we named him for his grandfather. And I said, well, wait a minute, you're kind of in the lineage there too. You're number two. He goes, yeah, but we named him for his grandfather. His grandfather's a great dude, was a great guy. So Doug, of course, jumped into that starting role when he had to, when Austin Todd was injured early in the season. And he's done a good job. He's been clutch in the postseason. So we had a brief opportunity to visit with the Longhorns' redshirt freshman right fielder coming off of the practice yesterday and getting ready for this tournament, the man from Burney High School, Doug Hodo.
Well, it's still a couple of days from the game, but how's the feeling so far? What's been the discussion? What has the vibe been like for you since getting here in the town?
I mean, it's been pretty cool. We've talked about getting to Omaha since the beginning of the season, so actually being here is a little bit of a different feeling than it was at the dish after we clinched, but I think we're starting to transition from, okay, we're in Omaha, like this is fun, but now we're going to turn it up a little bit. We want to win. We want to win this whole thing.
Does it help also getting back on the practice field? Are you guys going out to the local high school and getting back in a work rhythm and routine?
Exactly. Like sitting around the hotel and just thinking about it is a little different than going out on the practice field and, okay, we're playing baseball. We're not here to have, we're here to have fun, but not that kind of fun. So, yeah, it's a little different.
Your situation is also a little different than others in that somebody who actually played in this tournament, had a lot of conversations with your dad about things throughout the course of your time as a college player. This is something different in Omaha. Have you had the conversation with him about what it's like being in this town and playing in this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, he said there's memories here that last a lifetime, and it's a lot different than just a normal regular season. It's a special place, and it's in Omaha, and Omaha is a special place for a reason that just crazy things happen here, and very memorable things too.
Did he tell you if there's one thing you need to do or one thing you not need to do when you get to Omaha? Did he give you any kind of advice about do's and don'ts once you're in this town?
Not necessarily, but pretty much just go win the whole thing.
With the way this season has gone for you and unfolded, what has stood out the most to you about the time you've had to evolve as a ball player here in this redshirt freshman campaign for you?
I mean, just being out here with the guys has made me better. I mean, I definitely couldn't have improved over the course of the season without them, and I guess the culture we have and the coaches we have, and everyone just makes everyone better. And when you have something like that, you come to Omaha and you do big things.
Do you think it'll have an extra special feeling for you, just even getting on TD Ameritrade on the field just for the practice, for the workout, before you even get to playing Sunday night?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah.
So there it is. There's the interview, the conversation that we have with Doug Hodo. And, yeah, they will be on the field getting through their first practice. All right, back in the house, fresh from that really good conversation with Cole McCoy over at the football camp over at St. Michael's. My co-host, the pride of Northwest Williamson County and a proud graduate of Florence High School.
Damn straight.
Honorable mention, former All-District offensive lineman for the Florence Buffaloes. You know him best for his outstanding work at Horns 24/7. As evidence, outstanding work since he scrambled over there to visit with Cole McCoy. Jeff Howell is on board. So I'm glad. I'm glad you were able to get over there and you had a real good chat with Colt.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate that. Big thank you to Colt and everybody running the Dell Children's Medical Center Colt McCoy Football Pro Camp presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Yeah, I did mention it, Craig, several times on the air because it's worth mentioning. You can tell parents are really glad this summer that camps are back because they can get the kids out of the house for at least a couple of days. And if you've got a first through eighth grader that's out there working at Colt's camp, They're going to come home tired because, you know, Craig, I don't know if you've been out there, but I've done a couple of these now. Brad McCoy flips that coaching switch back on something fierce. And Colt's out there to get his work in. Derek Johnson's there hanging out. Brian Arakpo's there hanging out. But in a night, you know, I've never been out to St. Michael's, Snoop, for their football facility. For a small private school, that's a nice little facility they got going on.
Jeff Dykus is out there, head coach.
Yeah, so, but no, it's a really good time out there. Glad to be back in the studio. You know, Colt joked, he's like, hey, you guys make sure you stay cool under that tent. And I'm thinking, I'm going back to the studio, get back in some air conditioning and then some shade, so be indoors. So we've got a couple of Longhorn notebooks. We've got Inconceivable and Craig, because I don't know what's going to happen next Friday. So we're going to do our big Trading Card Friday unveiled, our Pack Break Friday, and this is the big one. So I'm holding this up on Twitch for everybody to see. Today, we've got Absolute Memorabilia Basketball 2020-21. Luka Doncic there on the package, and speaking of, you know, things that are a little, talking about things that are hot and bothering,
yeah, noteworthy,
unsavory, the Mavericks front office would certainly be that right now. But this is two autograph cards and two memorabilia cards are in this box. So this is the big one. Craig, you've seen the price tag on this thing. Snoop, you've seen the price tag on this thing, what these are going for. I've been scared and nervous to have this in my possession, so I'm glad that I can actually open this thing and see what's inside today.
Nicely done. Okay. Also, it's a Florida Man Friday.
It's Florida Friday for Inconceivable. By the way, big thank you to browneyeclothing.com, our partner for our Trading Card Friday, Brown Eye Clothing and browneyeclothing.com. I've got the lid right there. So big shout out to Lamar and the folks over there.
All right. So we've got all of that. And then at the very end of the program, Snoop Daniel.
Love this.
Is going to be able to display for you his editing talents par excellence, because what he did was he took basically a compendium of season highlights for this Longhorn baseball team, some calls, some play-by-play calls from some of the big moments, and set them all in Todd Thebold's back home in Omaha. So it's pretty cool what Snoop did. So what that'll be coming up at the end of the program. So we'll get to that. All right. Up next, we have the first of our Longhorn notebooks coming your way as we continue. Jeff Howe back in studio, fresh from the Colt McCoy football camp. Craig Way with you up here in Omaha, Nebraska. And this is Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at Horn FM. It's a Friday here on Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way and Jeff Howe with you. I'm up here in Omaha. Jeff back in the studios after visiting with Colt McCoy out at his football camp. We do have Inconceivable coming up. Also some other items and topics to get to, but right now it's time for the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
What say the notebook today, Jeffrey?
Thank you for that, Snoop. Do want to give one more shout out to Brown Eye Clothing and browneyeclothing.com. They are launching soon. It's a unique way to bring discussion to colorectal cancer awareness. 20% of their proceeds are going to go directly to colorectal cancer awareness groups in the greater Austin area. And I say that, Craig, as I open this absolute memorabilia box, and I will do that while I go through the notebook. And our notebook is courtesy of where I was yesterday. You mentioned today I was over at St. Michael's, had a nice sit-down chat with Colt McCoy. You can get that at hornfm.com. Go to Snoop. Is that interview posted separately? It's on the B&E page, I believe.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, Snoop will double-check me on that. But you can go to B&E's page, and it's the very last segment of their show today if you want to check out that. But yesterday I was down at the summer luncheon for the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Austin area. Good time with Steve Sarkisian. He had a media availability briefly before he took the podium. And, you know, Craig, I said this on B&E, and you've been around multiple Texas football coaches now. Being out in the community, being more than just a guy who wears a headset on the sideline, there's a lot that goes into being the head coach of Texas. And I'll tell you what, like, Sark has been, you know, good with the media and good with the public and good with the fans and everybody. But now that he can get out into the community and be involved in things and meet recruits and their families face-to-face, that genuine Steve Sarkisian we're starting to see, he checks a lot of those boxes, Craig, that you need to check if you're going to be the head football coach here.
Genuine is a key word there. And nowhere was that seen more so in the past than what Mac Brown was bringing to the table there.
Right.
And I think that folks are making those kind of comparisons and remembering that. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. And it's good to see him be able to get out. And just like I said, when I visited with Chris Beard the other day at the baseball team send-off, it's important to him, it's important to his staff to be out and to be around the community. And he was asking me questions about our radio show when we do Longhorn Weekly. So when we do that this fall or all into the winter, late fall and into the winter, up to the spring there to talk basketball, about being out at Pluckers and having the students out there. That means an awful lot to him, and I know it means an awful lot to Sark.
Why do I feel like the energy for a Chris Beard call-in show, a fan show, will be like somebody just like beer-bonging Red Bulls? Like it's just going to be boom, just go through the roof.
I told him, I said, we can have a lot of fun with it. We can do a lot of different things with it. So we're
he's all about it, for sure. Yeah. So let's go ahead and get to some of these Sark cuts. Name, image, and likeness has been a hot topic of conversation. That law was signed into effect. It's taking effect July 1st, signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott. But still, there's been no clear direction from the NCAA on that. So this is Sark just talking about the whole name, image, and likeness conversation.
You know, I think we're getting a lot of questions, one from our own players and two from recruits, right? And it's not a whole lot different than when you guys saw me the last time. We know we're being proactive. We know we've got some good things in place to go after it. Again, we're looking for guidelines. And until we get those guidelines, it's hard to implement. But again, you know, with President Hartzell's support and Chris Delcani's support and our entire athletic department support, I think we've got a really good plan and the university's got a good plan. We're just ready to put it into action and when we can.
So in that vein, you know, when we talk about name, image, and likeness, you talk about the edge that can give Texas in recruiting because of the program, because of the brand, because of the Austin market, the resources, everything that Texas brings to the table. You figure they could really make an impact with name, image, and likeness. But like a lot of things, Craig, at the end of the day, do athletes lose sight of, look, if you're not producing on the field and taking care of your books and your workouts and everything that you need to get on the field, none of that stuff's going to matter, and Sark hit on that aspect of it as well.
Well, I think this, you know, everyone wants to talk about building your brand. Your brand is who you are as a person, who you are as a player, who you are as a student. It's not just who you are of what you put on social media. And I think that's one of the things we've been trying to impress upon our players. It's about who you are 24/7, not just who you are on one tweet, right, or on one Instagram post. And that's what we have to get our players to understand. If we really want to build your brand, you have to build it from the ground up, from a real foundation about who you are. And then ultimately, that's how you start to get aligned with the right people. And I think this NIL thing, yes, it's a great opportunity for our players in the short term, the next 3-4 years of their lives. But I really think it's something that can springboard into something that can be beneficial for them for the next 40 years of their lives if they do it the right way. And so that's what we're trying to get accomplished with them.
Yeah, Craig, it's hard to build a brand if you're standing on the sideline or you're ineligible or you're injured because you didn't take care of your body and your nutrition and your workouts. That's kind of a real important piece we don't need to lose sight of on this deal.
Your brand is who you are and what you build it to be.
Exactly. Is that kind of one of those garbage in, garbage out kind of things? Am I on the right track there? All right, good deal. What also is a good deal, now we did touch on the news yesterday, Texas did lose a commitment in the 2023 class. Reuben Owens, the El Campo running back, backs off of his commitment. His dad did tell 24/7 Sports that Texas is still the leader, but Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, a lot of other schools in the mix. And Sark can't talk about specific recruits until they sign paperwork binding them to the University of Texas or that binds the school to them. So he can't mention Reuben Owens or Arch Manning or any unsigned recruits specifically, but this is Sark talking about that massive recruiting weekend that if you followed Mike Roach's and Nick Harris's reporting throughout last weekend at Hornets 24/7, if you caught our segment with Mike on Monday or read the Stampede on the website, it was a massive weekend, and this is Sark saying pretty much what he could say about the recruiting weekend.
Oh, it was a great vibe. I love to recruit. Recruiting is our lifeline. I jokingly say this a lot. The plays we run look a lot better when really good guys run them. And, it's not just about the physical attributes. I think it's about digging into the character of the person, of the kids, the families. So our staff has been fully invested in the recruiting process. Our current team has. I think they've done a great job. And so now it's a unique scenario where we had 16 months where we had no on-campus recruiting getting slammed into 27 days, whether it's the 22 class, 23 class, 24 class. So there's a lot of work, but hopefully in the end it pays off for us.
There's a couple of things there, Craig. One, he mentioned, hey, when you've got really good guys running your plays look good. During the luncheon, Jamal Charles and Vince Young were both there, and he looked down at the table. They were not sitting at the same table. They were at kind of adjacent tables. And he said, look, if I had Vince and Jamal running my plays, every play would be great. And I'm thinking, wow, Greg Davis actually really did have that once upon a time, being able to call plays with both those guys on the field at the same time. Just shows you recalibrates it and puts it into perspective kind of how good that 2005 national championship team was. But that's that part of it too. We talk about the recruiting aspect, but going back to what we talked about yesterday and looking at some of the stuff Dennis Dodd has done at CBS Sports, which he's done a really good series on Nick Saban and kind of the coaching car wash he's got going on down there that Sark was a part of, and Sark had some really good comments in a couple of those Dennis Dodd pieces. We talk about play calling in Alabama and how dynamic and how diverse it is, but I don't think Texas fans, Craig, should expect the same when you had a first-round draft pick at quarterback, a first-round draft pick who is a Doak Walker Award winner at running back, a Heisman Trophy winner at wide receiver. Your offensive line won the Joe Moore Award as the nation's best offensive line. Oh, and by the way, you had a couple of high-round draft picks on that offensive line. Oh, and by the way, your offense was that good without maybe your best player, Jaylen Waddle, who also was a first-round pick, being gone for most of the year. So I don't expect Sark to just come in here and have this offense clicking like Alabama's offense was at the end of the year. But again, this goes back to that schematic advantage that I think Steve Sarkisian is going to give Texas. And if they're doing it the right way in recruiting, if they're getting the kind of pieces that fit, that Alabama product, that is what you're striving to be down the road if you do it the right way, not necessarily what everybody should be expecting, in 2021.
Agreed. I like that line about our plays look a lot better, depending on who's running them there, if you've got those kind of guys. Now, I was told this, and you can confirm this, that Roger stood in for me, but also Jeremy Hills was also kind of co-emceeing, and that when they introduced themselves, you remember how they introduced themselves at the start of the luncheon? Were you there? Did you walked in time when they started the luncheon on
I was, but...
Apparently, the way it worked, they welcomed people to the luncheon, and Roger said, "I'm Roger Wallace," and Jeremy said, "And I'm Craig Way."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he said, that brought up a very good response, I guess. So it was like, no, sorry, he's in Omaha, so sorry.
Yeah, a lot of folks were disappointed, Craig, that you couldn't be there yesterday, but they understood you got business to tend to in Omaha. Well, hey, real quick before we hit the break and get ready for Inconceivable. So on our Trading Card Friday in this absolute memorabilia box, there's two boxes, Snoop. I'm gonna let you pick. We've got a Luka Doncic box and a James Wiseman box. Which one do you want me to open first?
You know what? Because I'm a Wiseman truther, I'm going to go with Wiseman.
Well, open the James Wiseman box, and we'll come back as we get into the conceivable, and I'll let the public know what is in this box when we come back.
Okay, good. And, you know, who knows? I mean, with Luka these days, with what's going on with that organization, maybe it is good to just leave it in the box. I don't know.
It's interesting, Craig. You've been in this state long enough, and you've you know all the play-by-play guys, and you're tied into that NBA scene. I mean, the Mavericks are in a position to be kind of the front-running team in the state of Texas, given that the Rockets are in full-on tear-down rebuild mode, and the Spurs are in that rebuild mode where they've got some young pieces but no true superstar, and they're still trying to figure it out. And the Mavericks have an unquestioned superstar, but, you know, this whole deal with Bob Vulgaris, the former gambler now apparently calling the shots in the front office, and I don't know if you read the Tim Cato article in The Athletic, Craig, that was really explosive, and Mark Cuban calls BS on it, yet within days of that article coming out, Donnie Nelson and Rick Carlisle are both no longer a part of your organization. Something's not passing the smell test in Dallas right now.
You know, the situations were different, but the effect kind of reminds me, and this is going to go way on back, 1987. The Mavericks were the 2 seed in the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah.
And they had built things up and got shocked by Seattle in the first round. Got knocked out in 4 games in a best-of-5 series. Got knocked out. And there was grumbling and rumbling and all that kind of stuff, but nobody thought much about it. And so there was this media availability, like 2 days later, out at the Mavericks practice facility. So everybody figured it was just standard media availability, we'll look in free agency, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. So I go out there to cover it for the station for KRLD, I was working for at the time. And I go out there, and we're all just standing there waiting on this deal. And Dick Motta, who was the first coach of the Mavericks and had built them from expansion from the ground up, he'd won an NBA title in 78 with the Bullets and had been a longtime coach, just walks to the microphone, and he's got this piece of paper, and he starts talking blah, 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 blah. And you could tell, and we're looking at each other going, wait a minute, what's going on here? And then he just talked about how he didn't feel he was the right guy for it, and therefore I am resigning as head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, folded up his paper and walked away.
Is that like, Craig, is that like your alma mater, which still has the best press conference ever? They lose that game to Portland State, 66-7?
Yep.
And instead of Dan McCartney's post-game press conference, it's the AD coming to the podium and saying we're making a coaching change?
Yeah.
It's the greatest press conference ever.
Fired him in the locker room and then went and did that afterwards. And in the case of Dick Motta, he just walked up to this podium, he unfolded this piece of paper, he read it, and he turned and just walked in the opposite direction. And we all looked at each other like, did that just happen?
What the hell is happening here?
So in terms of abrupt things happening, that's what I mean. I mean, the circumstances are vastly different.
Right.
But it just reminds me of that in that respect. All right, coming up next, speaking of things that might seem a little inconceivable, we do have our inconceivable segment coming up. And plenty of offerings here with wild animals and... Oh, yeah, it is a Florida Friday as well. So it's all coming up when we continue here on The Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We're live, we're local and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
The Longhorns are heading back to Omaha.
For the 37th time in its history, more than any other school in the nation, the Texas Longhorns are going to the College World.
Inconceivable. Inconceivable.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Inconceivable means it's always brought to you by our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and his outstanding staff at Austin Orthopedics. If you have a sports-related injury, they are great people to visit with and can help correct that problem. Or if you're interested in finding out more about sports-related injuries and the prevention of same, you can give them a call or check them out on the web at austin-orthopedics.com. Jeff, are we doing the pack break right now, or you want to do that?
I've got one box, so I can go over. By the way, speaking of inconceivable, Snoop finally saw the price tag on that this box we're opening today.
That was,
we're not going to reveal it on the air.
Okay,
but
that was unreal.
Yeah. Okay, so our rookie card. This is one of two boxes. Our rookie card is CJ Ellaby from the Blazers.
Portland.
We got a Mike Conley Tools of the Trade double jersey patch card. It's very nice. Jamal Murray. A parallel card numbered to 99. That's a very nice card. And then as a Mavericks fan, Craig, this excites me.
Yeah.
This is a really nice, sharp-looking card. So this is a Tyrell Terry rookie patch autograph. That's a four. That's a quad patch with a nice piece of jersey in there, autographed, numbered to 49. So
nice.
It's a nice-looking card right there. And okay, we still got another one to open today. So
good.
Shout out browneyeclothing.com.
Yeah, there you go.
The price. Oh, sticker shock.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I've got a couple of updates on things. This goes back to a story back, let's see, a few months ago. This is on back. I want to see. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it took. Oh, it was back in January. This is one of those stories where Jeff says that these people should be what, boiled in fat.
Do we have people who need to be boiled in oil and have their fat sold for soap?
Well, remember the couple, the Canadian businessman and his wife, who flew into a small indigenous town
yes,
in the Yukon and allegedly posed as local workers to receive the COVID-19 vaccine? Remember
yes,
that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's not alleged anymore. They pleaded guilty yesterday to it. Rodney Baker, who's the former president and CEO of the Great Canadian Gaming Corporation, and his wife, Ekaterina Baker, pleaded guilty to failure to adhere to an entry declaration form and failure to self-isolate. The couple entered their pleas in Yukon Territorial Court.
Yukon Territorial Court, huh?
Yeah, they were not boiled in oil. They were each fined $575 per count.
That's it?
That was it. They were also not charged for receiving the vaccine. They were not charged for that, but for not following quarantine requirements. So that was the deal with that. So there's an update on the that couple. I know you probably feel they should still be boiling.
They're extremely fortunate to just
$570
be walking
fine.
For what I'm sure for them is a very manageable fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Just up the road from them in Alaska, we have an update on it. Remember when the bears attacked the one deal and they said somebody went missing and the Alaska people were kind of dubious as to whether the bears actually attacked?
Oh, yeah. They had to do like bear duty DNA test or something?
Yep. Did all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They attacked. However, good news here. Missing hiker found alive after being charged by the bears. Fina Kiefer, 55 years of age. She had been charged by bears and had to use her bear spray to get away. Shortly after she called for help, she stopped responding to phone calls and text messages. Search was halted Wednesday due to bad weather, but she just, all of a sudden, a rescue team member saw her walking out of the woods about a mile from the trailhead. She was taken to a nearby hospital to be treated for her injuries.
Hey, Craig, so, you know who didn't need bear spray for their bear attack?
Who was that?
Bo Jackson. All he
yeah,
needed, all
that's
he needed
true.
Was a handgun and a little almost hand-to-hand combat at point-blank range.
I wonder how he would do in China at this story. there's a video that's out right now. One of these live shows, live animal shows, and it was.
What do you mean, live animal show?
Yeah, you know, and you have these performers that are and the stunts and part of the show titled "Tooling Legend" or "The Legend of Camel Bell," and the actors and these animals act out fight scenes. Well, you know what animals they are, Jeff? They're wolves. Live wolves, and the wolves went out and attacked the audience. They kind of just went running out there into the audience. They weren't wearing any harnesses or leashes, and the audience is sitting several feet from the stage, and a lot of them were recording it on their phone, and the Wolves had just started chasing the actors across the stage, and people were thinking, oh, this is part of the deal. No, it wasn't part of the deal. The Wolves had had enough. I'm telling you, the animal kingdom was rising up. So somebody commented on video, I would lose my mind if I'm just sitting here. What if something unexpected happens? And it went running in there. A representative said the Wolves have been domesticated for 3 to 4 generations. They're legally raised and trained by professional trainers with certification since 2018, and no accident happened in the past 3 years. Yeah, tell that to the people who freaked out and had to run for their lives with the Wolves running out from backstage, jumping into the aisles between the seats and chasing people.
So they act out scenes to stuff with Wolves?
Yeah. Yeah, live Wolves.
So it's like a community theater, but with Wolves.
Yeah, yeah. And they were chasing people around there, so fortunately, nobody got hurt. 30 Wolves and 20 camels are part of the show.
So this didn't end like Grizzly Man?
No, okay. Unfortunately, it did
not. Spoiler alert, by the way. Sorry, folks.
Yeah.
Snoopy, ever seen Grizzly Man?
No.
Give it a whirl this weekend.
I was going to give Deliverance a whirl, but...
Well, hey, why not make it a doubleheader?
Yeah, there you go. That'll have you... Boy... Snoop's got enough psychological trauma as it is.
Well, how's that for a matinee doubleheader? Deliverance and Grizzly Man? You're going to need a drink after that, Snoop.
Yeah, there you
go. Right.
All right, now those stories had happy endings. These others, not so much. 3 people dead, 2 remain missing in my home state of North Carolina for people who are tubing on a river. And... remember the story last week about the boat over there on, I guess it was on Ladybird Lake that got real close to the dam, to Longhorn Dam?
Yeah,
and they rescued the boat.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
That it almost like caused major issues. We almost had our own Suez Canal incident.
Right. Yeah, the boat almost went over. Yeah, it went over in North Carolina. 5 tubers, part of a group of 9 people. This is not far from where I grew up, about 40 miles from where I grew up. The tubes were tied together, and they came apart, and the tubers went straight over the dam. And it said 4 people were hanging on the various items, sent to a hospital for treatment, but 3 are dead and 2 are missing. So that's on the Dan River in North Carolina. That's not. And finally, we get to Florida. You know, we had to have a Florida story, and it's a Florida man story. A shark bit a Florida man who was swimming. You say, okay, well, that could happen to anybody, not just before. He was swimming near a fishing line 40 yards from the shore. The South Walton Fire District said in a news release posted on Facebook, the man had visible wounds to the upper body and chest area and was taken to a local hospital. It happened yesterday off Santa Rosa Beach. Now, here's the deal. The fire district flew double red flags to warn the other swimmers in the area, but nobody was near the area where the guy was swimming because he was swimming in the area where people were fishing for sharks. So he was mistaken, they believe, for shark bait by a shark.